think that that would be helpful. Mm-hmm. So I would like to talk about a little bit about coming, how you got in comedy. You know, I'm used to interviewing like rock and roll people, and yeah, I know how they come up the ranks in rock and roll. They play the dives, they get, you know, a demo tape. I'm just interested in how you come up the ranks, you know, as a comedy, as a comedian, as an actor. Just give us a little history.
Well, I really started out as an actor, and like a lot of comedians, wound up getting into comedy kind of through the back door. I never really thought I was going to be a comedian. I went to acting school. Before that, I was acting in plays, community theater, that kind of thing. Then I went to acting school. I came out here to California originally to go to the Walt Disney School, California Institute of the Arts. And since I was already out here, I moved down to Los Angeles from there. And I joined an improv group. I decided to learn improvisation. It was a comedy group. And the rest, as they say, is history. I got wound up just getting real involved in comedy. And many people, stand-up comics, I'm not really a stand-up comic, which is why I wound up doing the Pee Wee Herman show as kind of a play rather than stand-up comedy. I just, in fact, the character of Pee Wee Herman really evolved because I didn't know any jokes. And so it started out as a bad comic. And basically, whereas a lot of people at the Comedy Store, the improvisation, regular comedy clubs, people will go and just work out there and be discovered or grow and move on to something else. I wound up being kind of real insulated in a real small group, which is generally a lot more supportive than a place where everybody's kind of an individual and you go and people are going like, that guy sucks, and you know, that kind of thing. This was a much more, it was a group of really great people who all were kind of concerned with each other's growth as artists.
So how would you describe Pee Wee Herman? I mean, do you think of him as your alter ego? Is he, I mean, do you think, when you say something, you think, well, Pee Wee would say this, or is it just really just a character?
It goes back and forth between being an alter ego and just a character. I've been asked a lot, where did I come up with the character and how did it develop, and it certainly did develop over a period of time, but it was generally a character that I just could switch on, so I guess that answers it. It must be an alter ego of some kind, because I can just turn on the character and know what he thinks and know what, I don't have to give it a lot of thought, particularly since I've been doing it for 2 or 3 years now.
So how would you describe him?
Lovable nerd, that kind of thing. I would definitely put the word nerd in there somewhere. I think he's kind of like a survivor type of person. He's the kind of person who, no matter what, I mean, he maybe by some standards would be considered a loser, but he never looks at himself that way. He's he's a nerd who's making the best of it, really, is how I would describe it.
So in the show that I just saw, and did you think of all the routines, or is it like the whole ensemble worked up all that?
Yeah, most of the people participated in writing it. I used all people that were improvisational performers from the Groundlings, and a friend and I came up with really the concept of it, which was to move Pee-wee from being a bad stand-up comic to living in a playhouse and having his own kiddie show. So we came up with that idea, and I came up with most of the characters, like who peopled the playhouse, and then we cast it out of the Groundlings, and those people came in. I worked with a co-director, and he and I directed it and supervised the writing, which was a lot of just editing tapes and going back over and re-improvising things that we did. So the writing credits on the show are the whole ensemble, plus the guy who directed it.
So if you were writing like a diary, Pee-wee's Day, what would you have in it? I mean, would that include the show? Would he run into
these?
Is that what, you know, the show is like?
Well, at this point, I'm thinking a lot more in terms of a movie version of it, because I'm right in the middle of writing a script for Paramount based on Paramount saw the tape of the home box office show, and we then decided to make a motion picture, but it's going to kind of pick up, it has some of the same characters, and it picks up where that leaves off in a way. In other words, the playhouse is really just where Pee-wee lives, and he doesn't have a kid show. He doesn't do a television show in that. It's called Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and it's really an epic adventure story. It's going to be like Sinbad movies, kind of, or it's a combination Sinbad, Wizard of Oz, and Mothra, let's say. Mothra, like the Japanese movies.
Is it going to be happening in 1982, or is it...
I think it'll happen in...
Oh,
the present?
Right.
It will, I think, happen... does it happen in 1982? It happens in the present, although it's kind of a fantasy land. It doesn't necessarily have any... There are expressions and things that might refer to 1982, but generally Pee-wee's world is the 50s, I would say, which is when I grew up. Pretty much. Also, I just like the 50s a lot. I mean, it just seems real colorful and gaudy, and it just seems to fit with Pee-wee. I mean, I think Pee-wee in a lot of ways is a real innocent character, although he's kind of streetwise in a lot of ways, and he's a real smart aleck. He is pretty naive and pretty innocent, and those are two words that crop up a lot to describe the 50s, you know, when we were all naive and innocent.
So how did working...
A lot of people came out of the Gong Show. I met people when I was on the Gong Show. They would tape five shows in one day. So you'd be locked in a room where it was classified as a show, a game show. So you weren't. There were a lot of rules that the network had to follow, including you were not allowed out of the room all day. You had to be accompanied to go to the bathroom, and I guess they were afraid the judges would see you or something. So there would be about 200. People all with crazy acts in a room all day long from 7:30 in the morning till 8:30 at night. And that was real interesting. That was a lot more interesting than the shows. I think real highly of Chuck Barris. I think he supported a lot of people during a lot of years when people were starting out. I know a lot of people who work a lot now who started out at the Gong Show. I got my union card out of there, and if you were a union member, you were paid to do the show, and I also won several times, so, you know, there was more money involved there, and then they'd rerun them, and you'd get bowling balls and stuff in the mail, and it was a real fun time. I really enjoyed doing that show. A lot of people think it was, you know, don't like Chuck Barris and think the whole thing was crazy, and I just, I'm a big defender of the Gong Show.
How was that experience?
Well, it's the difference in working with professionals and not working with professionals. I mean, there were people, I don't even know how to describe them. I mean, there were just the most amazing acts. I mean, people who were dead serious with these acts, where they would put on a record and go like, you know, and do this crazy dancing, and that was their act. And it was fascinating, you know, but it was also kind of a big joke, whereas working on a television show with Steve Martin or Robin Williams is a completely different situation. You know, you kind of are rising up to something and trying to, be as good as them.
Do you feel that you're getting, support from these, well-established comedic actors?
Yeah, I guess I do. I've been amazingly lucky in that respect, in that I've had... You know, you can go along, and when your mom and dad say, gee, son, you were great on that, we saw you on the Gong Show, and that act was great, you know, you feel great. But when somebody like Steve Martin comes backstage and says, I really enjoyed that, it's a whole different thing, and you sort of get your head to be, giant.
What do you think is going to happen
I hope to be on a beach somewhere. I keep thinking, you know, that it gets easier, you know, after a while, and I'm realizing more and more that it doesn't, and that, you know, once you get to a particular point in a career, then you have to sort of grow and push forward from there, or else you know, people get kind of bored with you. I would like to finish the Pee Wee movie and have it be so successful that we immediately start working on part two. But at the same time, I also would like to be looking, I am looking for other projects to do that are not Pee Wee. I started out as a dramatic actor and mainly got into comedy because people were going like, you know, you're not a dramatic actor, you know, forget it. And it seemed like, you know, well, why fight it? If people say you're a comedian, go do comedy for a while. And I love doing it, and I want to continue doing Pee Wee and doing comedy, but I also feel a real big need to do something serious and heavy. So I will either find a project or I have to write something myself.
When you've been performing live, is there anything that outside of the, you know, what is happening on stage, you know, as part of the act, is there anything that's happened that's been like really crazy, you know, while you're performing? Something,
you mean like hecklers and stuff?
Yeah, something that's wild.
No, I haven't had anything really wild happen to me. I mean, I've had real crazy hecklers before, but my character is such a wise ass that I can usually handle them real easy. You know, I mean, just looking at a heckler or having a heckler call, you know, say something like you're a big nerd, I just can turn around and go like, you know, I know you are, but what am I, or something like that. So I can put people in their place real easy in that character. This sounds really dumb, but the weirdest thing that I can recall that happened to me is being, before the show, the Pee Wee Herman show moved to the Roxy, I was doing it in a 99-seat theater that was very, very tiny, and I looked out one night, and there's one point in the show where I kind of can survey the audience, and I looked out and I saw Robert De Niro and Martin Scorsese sitting out in the audience, and I just completely fell apart. I mean, I was not thinking about being Pee-wee. I was just going like, there's Martin Scorsese and Robert De Niro sitting out there. But I mean, that's not that crazy, so.
That's exciting.
Yeah, there's been a lot of exciting things that have happened, but I've been real lucky that no scenery has fallen on top of me or anything so far.
I think that it's to your advantage, I think, or maybe that's why you moved to Los Angeles, because when someone's starting out, I guess word gets passed around, go here and check out, you know, this show or do that.
Yeah, well, as far as an actor or a comedian goes, I really felt that my choices were New York or Los Angeles. I mean, I think it's really true that, you know, the reason why there are thousands of people pouring into New York and Los Angeles to make all their dreams come true is because that's basically where it happens. I mean, if you're in entertainment, I would have had a very different career if I'd have stayed in Florida. I could have still performed and probably made a living, but I wouldn't be writing a feature for Paramount, which is really what I wanted to do, which was to, you know, get into movies. And when you do a movie, it's so much easier than every night, you know. You just do it for 2 months and then you go away.
Well, then you gotta go out and promote it.
Yeah. See, I don't know about that stuff, though. This will all be new for me when I'll go like, I have to what? Yeah.
You have to promote it.
I think part of my problem is I think too much about that. You know, I kind of will sit around and be like, you know, gee, people are recognizing me and, you know, that kind of thing. And it's really no big problem yet, you know. And plus, I bring myself back down to earth by just going, you could have worse problems than people, you know, saying, gee, I really like your work kind of thing. You know, I do worry about that, what it's going to be like to lose your anonymity and all that kind of thing. And I'm sure it's smart for me to be thinking about it. On the other hand, it's kind of a little premature, you know. I mean, I think that's something I should worry about that when it happens. I mean, I'm aware that it's conceivable that it can happen, you know, particularly if this movie gets made, I think my life will change, you know, on certain areas. I'll have the big dough then, and I can,
you can
buy happiness.
Do you think that, I know some people would say, you know, you say people like your work, but I would think that, does it really work to be this smart-ass guy on stage?
It's kind of work. I mean, it's not work once it's all done to go out and perform. It's work, but it's wonderful work. Right now, writing this movie is work. You know, we got past the point that was real fun, where you're sitting around going like, and then he says this, and then I fly off, and then I do that, and it was, you know, and you're being creative and just goofing off, and it's real fun. Now we're at the point where it's become like writing a term paper, you know, and we have a deadline, and there are things that I know what it means in the script, but somebody who's reading it has no idea. So it's turning into hard work. I just thought of some embarrassing things that have happened to me. What's really embarrassing overall is to go out on stage and be as dorky and nerdy as I am and have it not work, which isn't that often, thank goodness, but to go up on stage and be, you know, going like, you know, mind if I smoke, you know, that kind of thing, or just being a real goofball up on stage, it's wonderful when people laugh at it. When people, you know, when the audience is like going like, what's he doing? You know, this is really dumb, because it is really dumb. And so, you know, if people are kind of recognizing it as being real dumb, it feels real horrible. I mean, I've been out on stage before doing Pee-wee and just pulling junk out of my bag and acting really nerdy, and all of a sudden realized that I was the biggest jerk in the world, you know? And that gets real scary, you know? That's when kind of my own personality takes over and I feel like, you know, braining somebody with a prop, but, you know, I don't.
Okay.
So is that the last question? I was going to say it's 8:30.
Oh.